characters from Job, Psalms, and Proverbs with this lesson. And then next Sunday, we'll start a new series of lessons on the children of the Bible. We'll be talking about, and that'll be a very interesting series. Amen. We learn a lot from children, don't we? Jesus taught us that. He said, except you become as a little child. So that's important that we learn that lesson today. And but we're going to conclude today with this series on the subject of the proud man. The proud man. Our focus thought is God hates the sin of pride. Pride is the cause of many evils that mankind commits. And focus verse is from Proverbs 16 and 18. The Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And then Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, it said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And it starts out by saying, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that that shed innocent blood, and then goes on. But I think it's interesting, of all the things God hates, it starts out with a proud look. And then Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And then in the 16th chapter, 5th verse, 18th verse, he said, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though a hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, and high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Well, I certainly have receive the secondary. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So all of these verses have to do today with the subject of pride. And we find that very clearly the Bible said that God hates the sin of pride. Doesn't just dislike it, he doesn't disapprove, but he hates it, and it says that it is an abomination to him. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. You know, pride is not always easy to identify. Pride is very deceitful, and we have to be very vigilant in guarding ourselves and ridding ourselves of the sin of pride. It's easy to recognize arrogance, perhaps. Somebody's arrogant, overbearing, we can see that. We say that's pride. But it's not so easy to recognize pride in other ways. You know, people are proud of a lot of different kinds of things. Amen. But it's all pride. It's not easy always to identify. Amen. And the root of pride is self. Selfishness. Worship of self. Pleasing self. That's the root of all pride. And that's why it's not easy always to identify. People, for instance, people sometimes present themselves as being, well, what shall I call it? False humility. False humility. There is humility, and then there's a false humility. People that present themselves as, try to pass themselves off as humble, but they're really not. They're full of pride. Give you an example of that is is a person is always belittling themselves and putting themselves down. Oh, you know, you say, well, you did a good job. Well, no, not really. I didn't do a good job. Now, why do they do that? Because they want you to continue to praise them. Oh, yes, you did do a good job. You did a wonderful job. What's the root of that? Pride. But it's not as easy to recognize, is it? If we're not careful, we'll say, oh, that's a very humble person. No, they're not. They're just wanting more praise. Amen. Pride's sneaky, folks. It's sneaky. It'll sneak up on you. That's why we have to work hard to rid ourselves from the sin of pride. It's just not easy to identify all the time. Sometimes it's very difficult to see. Amen. Benjamin Franklin said, idleness and pride tax with a heavier hand than kings and governments. Idleness and pride. Amen. Pride manifests itself in some of these things. First of all, it makes a man think that he's better than he really is. Amen. Pride will make you do that, right? Amen. Have you ever heard somebody say that if you could buy somebody for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, you'd be a wealthy man? Because pride tends to make us think we're better than we really are. Amen. And man, I've heard, it's interesting what some people think. Amen. And pride makes a man think that he's better than others. Better than others. The scripture teaches us that when we judge ourselves among ourselves, we're unwise. And how true that is. Because when you start comparing yourself to other people, one of two things will happen. You'll either find somebody and you think you're better than they are, and that's pride. Or you'll find somebody that you think's better than you, and then that causes you to feel inferior. So neither one of those things are desirable. You don't want to feel proud. You don't want to feel inferior. Amen. But the Bible says that if we just judge ourselves against the standard that God set, then that keeps us humble, genuinely humble, because we're striving to fulfill the law of Christ and the law of God more than just trying to please ourselves. So pride makes us think that we're better than others. And then pride also may cause us to think that we are self-sufficient. Amen. And that's also not true, is it? Not self-sufficient. You ever heard of people said, well, I'm a self-made man. Oh, really? What are you made of? Amen. I don't think so. Amen. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything here belongs to Him. And so nobody's self-made. Now, you may have taken the gifts that God gave you so graciously, applied yourself, and achieved some degree of success, but that doesn't mean you're self-made. None of us are self-sufficient. We all have to have outside help. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a self-made businessman. Well, you wouldn't have a business if it wasn't for people buying from you. So you do need others. Amen. You're not sufficient in yourself. All of us need help. So pride may cause us to think that we're self-sufficient when we're really not. And then pride may cause us to feel like we're above certain jobs that we think are beneath us. Amen. One thing sometimes I hear people say is, I used to do that, and I used to do that, and I used to do that. Well, why can't you do them now? Amen. That's okay, isn't it? Amen. But I've seen, actually watch people feel like that they're too good to do certain things after a while. They feel like they outgrow certain things. You know what? I still have it. I can still clean bathrooms. I can still pick things up off the floor. Amen. Been doing this a long time, but that's okay. And I don't ever want to get to the place where I can't. I never want to get to the place where I can't mow the lawn. Amen. I want to always have an humble spirit. Now, I may not have as much time, and there may be somebody else that's kind enough to take my place and do certain things, and I appreciate that. But I never want to get to the place where I think that I've outgrown that. I can't do that anymore because that's beneath me. Amen. If you ever get that attitude, you watch out. Pride is beginning to set in. It's gaining a foothold. And the best thing you can do about that is when there's something you think you're too good to do, just go do it. Just tell your old stinking pride, hey, let me show you that I'm not too good to do that. And just go do it. Amen. Feed somebody. Give something to somebody. Do something for somebody. That'll cause your pride to crumble and cause your will to submit to the will of God. And so that's how we get pride under control. And it is something that every one of us deal with from time to time. Amen. We all have to deal with these things. Now let me just say this. I want to differentiate how we use the word pride. You know, sometimes we use the word pride and it's a little out of context what we're talking about today. It's okay to take pride, if I may use the word that way, in a job well done. If you're going to do something, do it right. Now that's biblical, isn't it? The Bible actually talks about that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, it said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, neither whether thou goest." So he said, whatever you do, do it well. New Testament says, do it as unto the Lord. So when you do something, do it well. If you're doing a job, take a significant pride in that job that when you do it, you're going to do it right. You know, when you do something and somebody comes along, they said, ooh, who did that? And you did it, you're like, you don't want to take credit, huh? Or blame, as the case would be in that case. Amen. But if somebody comes along and says, wow, that's a good job. Who did that? Now you're feeling better about it, right? So whatever you do, do it right. Now, it's not good to boast about it and brag about it, because that's where pride comes in, huh? Did you ever hear the story about the turtle that wanted to go south for the winter, but he didn't have wings, he couldn't fly? But it made friends with some geese. And so he told the geese, he said, his good goose buddy, he said, you just take this stick and you hold it in your claws, your talons. And he said, I got strong jaws. I'm going to clamp down on that stick. And then you fly and I'll just ride all the way to the south. I've never been south. I want to see it. So that's what they did. And, I mean, that turtle clamped down on that stick and they're flying along and all's working well. And they're flying along, and all of a sudden this farmer looks up and he says, huh? He said, look at that. He said, look at that turtle swinging beneath that goose. That's a great idea. I wonder who thought of that. And the turtle said, I did. So it probably will get you in trouble, won't it? So you don't boast about things, but you do your very best. Whatever you're going to do, do it right. Do the best that you know how. And that's not pride. That's just doing right things because, what was it? Somebody said that a man's work is the self-autograph of his life. Whatever you do at the end of your life, people look at your life, then it's a self-autograph. It's what you made it. Another person said that what we are is God's gift to us, and what we make of ourselves is our gift to God. So God gave you some good things, and now we've got to take it and do something better with what He has given to us. All right, so the Bible says that God hates pride. God literally hates pride. Amen. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That's what it said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. And that's a harsh word, is an abomination. That word just sounds scary to me. I don't I don't want to be an abomination to God. That's a powerful word. Amen. That's at least a 50-cent word, if not more. And it simply means that you're despised of God. And God is repulsed and God is offended by pride. So if that's true, then I don't want to be proud, and yet I know that it's something I have to work on every day because it's so sneaky. Have you ever noticed, anybody notice how pride can sneak up on you? You think you're doing pretty good, and if you're not, it'll sneak up there. And you have to work at it. You have to deal with it. Pride is what causes a rich man to think he's better than his poor neighbor. And why would we think that? Why would we think that just because we have something, it makes us better than somebody else? That doesn't even make sense, does it? Isn't that right? That doesn't make sense. The fact that I could wear a certain name on my clothes would make me better than somebody else. The fact that the kind of car that I would drive would make me better than somebody else. But that's how deceptive pride is. You see where its values are? Where are the values? It's about self. It's about me. And just because I have something or own something or drive something or live in something or wear something, that I'm better than somebody else. That's what pride is. It's really a lie. You're lying to yourself. Amen. I said you're lying to yourself when you think you're better than somebody else. You bought into a lie. But that's the basis of it. Pride distorts reality, and it makes some people think that they're self-sufficient. I love the story in Luke chapter 12. Jesus he was a master teacher. You remember that story where he talked about the rich man? And it said that the ground brought forth bountifully. Well, who sent the rain? Who sent the sun? Who put all of the ingredients and the nutrients in the soil? Who made the seed? Self-sufficient? Self-sufficient. But he said that my ground has brought bountifully. And so he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tear all my barns down. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to put all this stuff up. And then I'm going to just tell my soul, just take it easy. You've got so much laid up, you'll never have to work another day in your life. Amen. And the Bible said, and the Bible's really clear. You know, God told us we're in danger of hellfire for calling somebody a fool. But he said, God said to that man, he said, you fool. And then he said, this night your soul shall be required of you, and then whose shall those things be? So you see, that's self-sufficiency. You work so hard, and for what? You're not self-sufficient. Every last one of us is one breath and one heartbeat away from judgment and death. Every one of us. And you don't control that. You don't control when your heart beats the last time, and you don't control the last breath that you'll ever take. You don't control those things. Oh, I know, they can hook you up to life support and they can shock your heart and make it keep beating, and they can keep making your chest rise and fall, but they can't make you live. There's a little spark of life. There's a spirit that God put in us. And once that spirit's gone, whatever you do to this physical body does not matter. We are not self-sufficient. Whatever pride tells you, you are not self-sufficient. Amen. Pride causes us to take credit for things that only God can do. Now, it's true that God depends on us and partners with us for certain things. An old farmer was in his field, and a city fellow drove by, saw how beautiful it all looked, and he said, my. He said, you and God have done a great job in that field. And the man said, you're right. He He said, but you should have seen it when God had it by himself. Now that could be interpreted as pride. But on the other hand, he was right. You know, God gave man certain responsibilities. And if we do what he tells us to do, then he will do what he can do, and we'll be a success. But there are certain things God could do but won't do. Brother Holly used to say, God can tie your shoes, but he won't. Amen. He can do a lot of things, but he won't. Amen. There's a lot of things God just won't do. It's not that he can't. Just will not. God will not do what he has told us to do. Amen. And so those are things that cause God to hate sin and hate pride that he finds in us. God opposes pride. God opposes pride. But James wrote it like this, James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. That verse, when I read that, I see God stiff-arming somebody. You know, somebody just clawing, doing their best to try to get to God, and God's just resisting. Said, you can't come any closer. Amen. I told you, some of you remember the story that we had this little poodle. It was a three-legged poodle. One of his legs was broken at some point in time before we got it. And they put a pin in it, so his little leg was like this, and he ran around on three legs. But that little poodle had a spirit that was 10 foot tall. She thought she was a terror. And we also had a German Shepherd dog at the same time, named Chief. And the little poodle would get so upset with the big dog, and I mean she would just tear into him. And so it didn't have any sense whatsoever. No sense of judgment. And the big dog would just, instead of biting or growling, he didn't do any of that. He'd just take his big old foot and he'd put it right down on her little neck and just push her down to the ground. And that little old black poodle would snarl and snap and growl and howl, and the other dog would just lay there with his foot on him, just kind of just wait till he calmed down. And finally, when the little old poodle would just give out and say, give up, then he'd let him up. And that was the way it went. And when I think of God resisting the proud, I kind of get that picture in my head. Some proud person full of pomp and pomposity, and they're proud, and oh, I'm somebody. And God just says, puts his hand on him and says, just settle down there, Fido. Amen. And they struggle, and they fight, and they snap, and they snarl, and God just keeps resisting. So finally, they humble themselves. Then God said, all right, let me help you here. In pride, God will resist because he will not give his glory to another. God will not give his glory to another. So God always resists. James 4 and 10 said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So you see, when we give up the fight and we keep we quit struggling and fighting against God and against his will, then God will lift us up. Humility. Pride promotes the lie that mankind is sufficient unto himself. Makes individuals think that they know more than their Creator. Amen. Man's philosophies and God's word. Which one's going to win out in the end? A great French philosopher wrote in the last century, some papers that had, and he wrote a pamphlet that he passed out very proudly. And he passed it out. 100 scientific reasons that the Bible is not true. And he passed out these leaflets, and you know what? There's not a scientist in the world that believes any of those 100 supposed facts of that time. They've all been disproven. Every last one. And the Bible still stands. And what's really more interesting is the fact that today In the very house where he published those papers, now they publish Bibles. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Sometimes he just laughs and says, let me show you something here, bud. Amen. And so the word of God still stands. But pride, you know, it wants to create its own philosophy, its own ideas. Pride takes a person that is worst and makes him think he's his best. I think that's evident. I witnessed something really ugly a few years ago. I was in an IHOP of all places, this man was dressed up in a nice suit, looked very elegant and sharp, except his face was kind of twisted and angry, and he was telling the waiter or the waitress, and he was just really kind of telling her, he said, you don't know who I am. He said, but I'm the pastor of such and such church, and if the service doesn't improve around here, we just won't come back here. I thought, my, what an ugly sight. And I wish you wouldn't advertise the fact that you're a Christian, much less a pastor, if you're going to act like that. You see, but that was pride. And he was thinking, hey, I'm at my best. I'm too good for this. And yet, his actions made him, that was the worst thing he could have said. Worst thing that he could have done. But pride's like that. Pride will make you do things that are not sensible and not reasonable and makes no sense whatsoever. Pride's ugly, isn't it? For those on the receiving end, it's really ugly. If you've ever been under somebody's taunts and insults when their pride is speaking, it's an unpleasant place to be. But pride's like that. It takes a person at his worst and he thinks he's his best. Amen. And Jesus said this. He taught us so very well. He said, speaking of himself, he said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know what meekness is? Don't misunderstand meekness for weakness. It's not. Meekness is best defined, I think, as pride under control, or power under control. That's what meekness is. It actually comes from a word that has to do with the way that you guide something like a horse, a powerful animal. Now, if you've ever dealt with horses very much, especially big ones, you'll find out they're much more powerful than you are. Amen. And if a horse decides he wants to go one way and you want to go another way, if you don't have a bridle and a bit in his mouth, he's going to win because he's going to overpower you. The only way you can control that is you get a bit in his mouth and make him hurt bad enough, then he'll give in. But that's the only way. You won't overpower him. So then, but it's much better if you have trained an animal with your kindness and your patience and they have learned to trust you. And then you can simply just touch a rein against the neck of that powerful animal and he'll turn and go the direction you want him to go. That's meekness, you see. It's power under control. He can overpower you anytime he wants to, but because of his respect for you and his love for you, you can cause him to go where you want him to. That's meekness. God, we're meek when God gets us to the place that he can just direct us and that we're under his control. Yes, we have the power to resist God. If we want to, we can. We can do it our way. But meekness is when I have learned to submit myself to the will of God and do what he chooses that I should do. And so Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And so he chose that. God didn't come here to win us by force. He came here to win us by love and by example and through his own humility. And what a beautiful thing that he came and sought to do that for us. He came to build an internal kingdom, didn't he? Jesus was not a proud man. Jesus was a genuinely humble person. I love this definition of humility. Humility does not think little of itself. Humility does not think of itself at all. That's what humility is. If you just think little of yourself, that's not humility. That's inferiority. And it's rooted actually in pride. it is. Amen. Because it judges self against others and says, I'm not as good as that person or that thing. And so it's really pride in reverse. Whereas humility just doesn't compare itself. Amen. It just goes about its way and does what it needs to do and does what it can do to be the best that it can. And that's what humility is. And that's what Jesus did. Have you ever noticed Jesus never put himself down and belittled himself? He didn't boast, didn't brag, but he didn't put himself down either. There's a lesson in there for some of us. Amen. He didn't do that. He didn't beat himself up. Amen. He didn't talk about how bad he was and how bad he had things in life. He didn't. He just understood who he was. He knew who he was. He was the Son of God. God manifest in flesh. He knew that. And he knew what his mission was. And he just humbly went around and did it, claiming no glory for self. And so when we have that spirit, it's a powerful spirit. Amen. But that's the spirit of humility. That's what the Lord had. The Lord's Prayer is really, it's an antidote for pride. Let's see if we can get that. What does it say? It starts out by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, first of all, it acknowledges somebody that's far above us. And our relationship, he's our Father, and he's in heaven. And then the next part says, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's the very opposite, isn't it? Of pride. Pride says, I want my way. I want to build my kingdom. But when we pray his prayer, we say, Thy will, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. Amen. Now, where were we? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, that's not selfish, isn't it? Is it? It's not begging for more than it ought to have. It's not telling God how much you got to have. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that trespass against us. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So you see, it's all about his kingdom, not about me, not about my kingdom. So the Lord's Prayer is anti-pride. When we pray that, believe that, live that, that helps us to battle pride that God hates. So then pride comes between mankind and God. It comes between us. Proud individuals do not seek God. Psalm 10 and 4 said, The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. God is not in all of his thoughts. And so people sometimes banishes God from their thinking. I heard some years ago that a group of people decided they wouldn't God's name in vain anymore because they didn't even want to acknowledge God when they were cussing. Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad they're not doing that. But it's foolish to think that just because you don't say God's name, God doesn't exist. That's kind of a crazy idea, as if you could make God vanish just by saying, well, I won't say his name anymore. That's not going to happen. And he was here before we were. He's going to be here all the time. He's not going anywhere. Amen. But people have silly ideas sometimes. Remember Cain in the Old Testament? Cain grew angry when God accepted Abel's sacrifice but did not accept Cain's sacrifice. So pride caused Cain to go his own way instead of repenting and following God's way. See what pride does, isn't it? And it's something that Cain would take his anger out on his brother. All Abel did was offer an acceptable sacrifice. What's wrong with that? But pride doesn't just want to do right, to find out the right thing to do. It wants what I'm doing to be the right thing to do. What, does that sound familiar? Seems like there's an issue kind of like that going on right now. Amen. There's a, you know, the group of folks that are very steeped in a biblical sin, but they want us to approve what they're doing and say, don't you dare say what we're doing is not right. Well, you know, I love you, but it's not right. Now, you may want to get married and say that it's right, but still it's not right. Still not right. And see what pride does? It distorts judgment. And that's what happened to Cain. It totally distorted his judgment. Look at this verse here, what the Lord said. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, or why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? I love that verse, countenance fallen. Have you ever watched somebody get angry? What it does to their face? Amen. I'm grinning right now. I'm happy to. But when you see somebody get really upset and get really mad, you can see what happens in their face, right? All of a sudden, their jaw drops, and their eyes are on fire, and they're all tense. The Lord, notice what it did to his face. Amen. You can't hide that. He's angry. He said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Nobody's accepted. God didn't reject Cain. He rejected his sacrifice. But he said, if you'll offer the right sacrifice, if you'll do the right thing, then I'll accept you. Amen. But you see, Cain didn't want to be offer the right sacrifice. He wanted God to change everything to fit him. Well, God, this is my sacrifice, and you got to do what I want you to do. Well, now, I know that didn't work at my house with my parents. I fit into their little plan. They didn't fit into mine. Amen. If I ever told my dad something like that, he got patriotic in a hurry. Amen. He'd give stripes and I'd see stars. That was our agreement. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt he shall rule over thee. So you see, that's what pride does. It says, I'm right, this is what I want, so it's got to be this way. God, you have to accept my sacrifice. I'll worship you, but I'm going to worship you the way I want to worship you. You've got to do it my way. Amen. And so that was what happened with this man called Cain. And the Bible said that he became the first murderer. He murdered his brother. Abel didn't do anything to Cain. But he was angry because God accepted his brother's sacrifice and didn't accept his. Amen. And so the anger was misdirected, like a lot of anger in the world today against the church. Amen. But that's just the way it is. And that spirit of Cain is still alive and well in our generation. So, Cain was angry because the worship system was, he wanted to honor him instead of God. Amen. It was never about God, was it? It was about Cain. What I got, what I want you to do. I'm worship God my way. I hear people say that all the time. Amen. I just, you know, I worship God my way. Well, are you sure which God are you worshiping, though? That's what I want to know. Amen. The God of the Bible set out a certain system of worship, and he kind of expects us to do it his way, if we're going to worship him. The only thing that pride can grow is sin. That's it. It can't grow anything else. And it'll always produce sin. And that's its fruit. And that's what it'll always do. Brother Holly used to say, he said, a man can be his own God and he can worship himself, but he cannot be his own Savior. And that's true. You can be your own God, and you can worship yourself, but you cannot save yourself. If you're going to have a Savior, you're going to have to reach up to something that's higher than you are. If you're sinking, you're not going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to be like David. He said that the one that is higher than I. You got to reach up to somebody that's above you. Reach out to God and let Him lift you up. That's the only way you get out. And it's the only way out. There's no other way. You got to find somebody that's higher than you, and that's the only way. Now Cain, you see, he continued to sink because he would not reach out to something that was higher than he was, and so it cost him everything, and it really did. God may not hear proud individuals. Amen. I like that story. I think Jesus had a great sense of humor. If you would have heard him say some of the things he said, rather than just read them, I think you would have seen some humor there, some of the things he said. I like this story. It's a parable that he gave us in the book of Luke, chapter 18. He talked about this Pharisee that went to pray, and he really paints his picture so well. It said, and he stood praying. I like this. Listen closely. Praying thus with himself. You know, not all prayer is directed to God. Not really. Some of our prayers directed to ourselves. And that's what his prayer was. It was about him, not about God. Amen. Isn't that fun? Shake your head like this. That's fun, Brother Christian. Amen. His prayer was not about God at all. It's about him. Amen. I've heard testimonies like that. It's not about God at all. It's about me. Woo! Hallelujah. Talking about pride today. Amen. And so he prays, the Bible said, with himself. Amen. And he said, God, now he's addressing God, but of course God was really him. I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Is that a beautiful prayer? What's that all about? How good I am. How great I am. How perfect I am. How holy I am. Look at me. Isn't that a great prayer? Amen. God didn't think so, did he? He said there was another man there, the tax collector. And all he could say was, have mercy on me, God. And Jesus asked a simple question. He said, now which one of these men left with his prayer answered? Obviously the humble one, not the proud one. And so pride is like that. It's despicable. And yet it can deceive people. And if we're not careful, all of us can also be deceived. Job chapter 35 verse 12 to 14 said, there they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him, therefore trust thou in him. So when we hide, the Bible says, when I hide my iniquities, the Lord will not hear me. If I confess sin, God will hear me. But if I feel justified in my sin and continue in my sin and do not recognize my sin and expect God to hide himself from my sin, then God will not hear me. Amen. And an important thing about prayer. The Bible said, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Be clothed with humility. Amen. God resisteth the proud. That's such a graphic verse to me. Amen. And when we've said this, we read this in our early part of our readings, it said, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him. And it starts out by saying, proud look. That leads to the whole list. because all of the other sins spring from pride. Pride is the foundation. We know that pride is what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven, who became Satan as we know him today. He started out as an angel of light. He started out as perhaps the most powerful angel. But pride was found in him. And pride got him kicked out of heaven. He became selfish and he wanted the things that belonged to God. And so the Lord kicked him out. Pride places one's desire above God's. Amen. Well, isn't that really what sin's all about? Wanting to do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do? That's the bottom line, isn't it? The bottom line is there's one throne in your heart, and whoever sits on that throne is God. If you sit on that throne, you're your God. If he sits on your throne, then he is your God. And so whoever's sitting on the throne, whoever's ruling today, whoever's making the decisions, that's who you really worship. And so God places one's desire, or sometimes we put our desires above the desires of God. Now what happened to Eve? She had the word of God. She knew what God had said. But there she stood before this beautiful tree. And she listened to the words of a deceiver. And as Satan began to speak, she could just see in her mind, she could just see how wonderful it was. You know, really, maybe God is holding something back from us. Maybe it would be kind of nice to be like God. We'd be like God ourselves. And I'd know good and evil. Right now, I don't know anything evil. I just know good. So what, it must be nice to know evil, right? That's what the deceiver does, you see. He makes evil look good. Isn't that right? Shake your head like this. Uh-huh. He does that. Yeah. I mean, things that make no sense whatsoever. And yet, people do them. People do them. Knowing, even after they have done it, and then knowing that the pain that it's going to cause later, but they'll do it again. Somebody said it's easier to find somebody that's never sinned than to find somebody that's never done the same sin twice or more. Even though we know what the price is going to be, and we know what's going to happen, still we give in. So that's what happened to Eve. That's what happens to us. Pride distorts reality. And it paints a picture that we buy into. And we do things that we know are not right. And we do them still. Amen. And knowing that we're God's property, and that's what I suppose grieves me at times when I think about knowing that I'm God's property, knowing that God's grace is so perfect and pure and beautiful, and to misuse the gifts of God, when I think about it, that grieves me. But when I'm in the grip of pride, I don't think like that. I just think what I want, right? I just think what I want. Just think what I want to do and how I'm going to feel, and it's all about me. So that's what pride does. Amen. So pride shall bring man low, but honor shall uphold the humble. So when we submit to the will of God, then we rise and we defeat pride. Amen. That's the only way we can do it. Pride displeases or displaces humility, but on the other hand, humility displaces pride. So we make that decision, don't we? The Bible said that God gives grace to the humble. We've read that in the book of James. And by humility, our humbleness and repentance awaken the compassion of God. He gives grace and forgiveness to the humble. Amen. When we acknowledge God, that's when we begin to make a right turn away from pride and to God and to humility, and then God lifts us up. Thomas Merton, an author, said this. He said, pride makes us artificial and humility makes us real. And I find that to be true. Amen. Praise the Lord. We understand when we're humble, we acknowledge that we need somebody higher than I. Amen. That can get us out of this condition that we're in. That's what repentance. It begins with acknowledgement that I'm wrong and God's right. It begins with the fact that I can do nothing about the condition that I'm in, and I need God to get me out of this. And that's where repentance starts. We acknowledge our need of God, and then He begins to lead us out of our condition and into His great grace and His great salvation. Amen. So then God is able to help us in that kind of a condition. Peter said, humble yourselves therefore to the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Amen. So God chooses the time, and we submit to that. Amen. You know, God doesn't always do things on our time schedule, because sometimes He needs to teach us a few things, like depending on Him. Like really proving who the boss is, right? Is it okay? Is it all right for God to teach us every now and then who the boss is? Well, might as well be, because He does. If we're not careful, we'll tend to forget that sometimes. Even religious people, sometimes I hear pride in that. I don't know, this may not bother you. And I guess I know what they mean, but it's hard for me to get over this. I don't like it when people tell me that God's bound to do this, has to do this. Well, really? Maybe He does, but I sure don't think that's the right attitude about it. Here people say, God's bound by His word. God's got to do it. Well, not really. Because God's sovereign. And He can say no just as easy as He can say yes. And if your motive and your attitude is wrong, God has every right to deny you. He would be violating His principle of righteousness to answer some prayers. Right? Amen. Because God is just as concerned about your attitude as He is about your actions. Hello? That's good, Brother Grisham. Thank you, sir. That's good teaching there. Amen. Somebody, their actions are pretty good, but their attitude stinks. Amen. God's just as concerned about your attitude as He is about your actions. Amen. And then God recognizes the humble. That He does. God actually recognizes the humble. He sees humility. I see some startling examples of this in the Scripture. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Ahab. Anybody remember Ahab? He was a wicked man. And he brought a lot of wickedness to Israel. He was a horrible king. He opposed Elijah the prophet. He was a bad man. And finally, Elijah confronted him and made him face his sin and his wrong. And when he did, Ahab repented, recognized how wrong he was, and asked God for mercy. And God had mercy on Ahab. And God's grace is amazing, folks. Sometimes I'm not sure I agree with it, but He's God. Amen. Do you ever, wonder why God forgives some people? But sure are glad that He forgives you. Hello? Amen. They don't deserve it, but God, thank You for forgiving me. Well, you don't deserve it either. Just God's grace. And I'm glad He's in control. How about you? Amen. This is very important. I'm going to close with this. I think this is pretty interesting. Pride is not limited by culture or race. Neither is it slowed by social status. I want you to think with me here as I read this. It works in any mind that will give it time and space. The pride that makes the rich man park his brand new car at the front door of the church is the same pride that causes the poor man to park his worn out car at the back of the church. Think about it just a minute. Huh? I thought that was pretty interesting. The pride that causes the straight A student to openly display his report card is the same pride that makes the failing student hide his. The same pride that leads a man with abundance to boast of his generosity is the same pride that encourages a man with nothing to deny he has a need. No human is immune to pride. Amen. Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, "A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." Amen. So it is. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself. Everybody say gave. Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's our goal, and we recognize it's going to take the grace of God to get there. We can't make it on our own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. Let's ask God to help us today. Amen. Pride is very deceitful. It shows up in such a variety of ways in our lives. It's hard sometimes to spot it and to change it. But we need God's help and God's grace. Lord, I pray today to help me. I don't want pride to rule my life. And I know that it does at times, and it comes in, and I may not even recognize it for a time, but I ask you to help me today to be open. Give me the wisdom and the understanding and the humility and the right spirit that I can detect it. Sometimes pride feels good, and I want to continue in its way and be held in its sway. But I ask you, Lord, deliver me from a proud heart. Deliver me from proud lips. Deliver me from a proud look. Help me, O God, today to be genuinely and truly humble in your sight. Help me, God, to be righteous. I thank you for your help and for your great grace. And I give you honor and praise. Your name is high and holy, and you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Let's sing unto the Lord. Amen.